السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی رب زدنا علما اللہم فقہنا فی الدین اللهم انا نسالك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. امين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 8 to 12 of surah An-Nisa today. Let's start with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 8. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. و and إذا when حضر was present القسمة أو means the and قسمة means division أولو possessors of القربة the relationships. Okay, or the close ones. So that means ulul qurba actually means relatives or the close relatives. Okay, so ulul qurba, relatives, wa and al yatama, the orphans, wa and al masakinu, the needy ones, farzuquhum, fa means so. And urzuku means give rizq. Rizq is the root word, and that means provision, okay, or sustenance. So farzuku, then provide sustenance, hum, for them, min, from, hu, it, or some of it. And we're speaking about the inheritance here. Wa and kulu, you all say. This is a command, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when he gives this order. So it's plural. And we know that because it ends in vau sukun followed by the alif, the silent alif. So wa kulu, and you all say, la to hum, them, qawlan, a word, ma'rufa, one approved, okay, or in a recognized right manner. Wa and al, the al, the lam sukun after the wa means should, okay, and should yakhsha, he fear, alladhina, those who. So we can leave out the he because yakhsha refers to alladhina, which is plural. So wal yakhsha and should fear, alladhina, those who, lo, if, taraku, they left, and we see that taraku is also plural because it ends in vau sukun followed by the alif. So, lo taraku, if they left, min, from, khalfihim, khalf means behind, him, them, dhurriyatan, dhurriyah means offspring or children, dhiyafan, weak, khafu, they feared. This comes from the word khof, and this is a verb in this case, and vau followed by alif in the end tells us it's plural. So khafu, they feared, alayhim, alay, upon him, them, fal yattaqullaha, fal, so should, yattaqu, they adopt taqwa, or they fear allaha, Allah. So فَلْيَتَّقُوا, you can also say, so they should be conscious of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْيَقُولُ, wal means and, should, yakulu, they say, قَوْلًا, a word, sadida, one straight or correct. This comes from the word sadda. Sadda means a barrier or a wall. Okay, and it means a strong wall that has no cracks in it. Okay, and When it comes to kolan sadidan, this means a word that is straight, okay, that's not confusing. Inna alladhina, inna, indeed, alladhina, those who, yakuluna, this comes from alif, kaf, lam as the root word, ukul, which means eating. So, yakuluna, ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, una ending makes this word plural. So, yakuluna means they eat or devour. Amwala, wealth, al-yatama, of the orphans, dhulman, unjustly. Unjustly or injustice or due to oppression, wrongdoing. Innama, only or indeed, not but. Yakuluna, they eat fi in butunihim. Butun means bellies, him, theirs. Naran, a fire. Vasayaslauna, wa and sa as the prefix means soon. Yaslona, they will burn, they will enter and burn. The ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and ona ending makes this word plural. So wasayaslona, and soon they shall enter and burn. Sa'ira, a blazing fire. This is one of the names of Jahannam as well. Sa'ira. Yusikum. This comes from the word wasiya as the root word, and that means a commandment. Okay, you see, he commands, kum, all of you, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi, concerning, awladikum, awlad, children, kum, yours. Lithakari, li, for, al means the, and dhakar means male. Lidhakari, for the male, mithlu, like, hadhi, share. Al-unthayin, al means the, and untha is the root word, and that means a female. And the aini ending, the fatha on the ya, followed by the ya nun in the end, means this word is in the dual. Okay, so two. So unthayin, the two females, fa'in, fa, then, in, if, kunna, they are. We know from the nun mushaddad here that this refers to the females. Okay, so, kunna, they are, or were, nisa'an, women, fawqa, above, ithna daini, two females. Again, ithna dain, two females. Falahunna, fa, so, la, for, hunna, them. And this them refers to females because it's not hum, it's hunna, so females only. Falahunna, so for them, thulutha, two-thirds. We know that thalatha means three-quarters. So, thulutha comes with an alif in the end, so that means two-thirds. The alif adds the two to it, so thulutha, two of the three. Ma, of what? Taraka, he left. Wa, and in, if, kanat, she is or she was. So note that it doesn't say kana because this refers to the female, so it ends with a ta. Kanat, she was or she is. Wahidatan, single or one. Falaha, fa, so, la, for, ha, her, anisf, the half. Wali abawehi, wa, and li, for, abawehi actually means abawain and then he. But when we drop, when we add the pronoun at the end, the he, we drop the noon, okay, because we don't use the noon when we add a pronoun. So, wali abawai, and for the two parents, we learned already that the ani and aini ending means two, right? So, wali abawai, and for two parents, meaning the mother and the father, he, his. So, and for his parents, li kulli, li for, kulli, every, vahidin, one, Min huma. Min, from, huma, both of them. Asudus, the 1/6. Mimma, min, from, ma, what? Taraka, he left. In, if, kana, he was, or he is. Lahu, la, for, hu, him. Walad, a child. Fa'in, fa, then. In, if. Lam, did not, yakun, he is. Lahu, la, for, hu, him. Waladun, a child. Wa, and. Waritha, inherited, hu, him. Abawahu, abawa, means parents, two parents. Hu, his, so abawahu, his parents. Fali ummihi, fa, so, li, for, ummi, mother, he, his. Athuluth, the 1/3. Fa in, then if, kana, he was or is. Lahu, la, for, hu, him. Ikhwatun, brothers. Fali ummihi, fa, then, li, for, ummi, mother, he, his. Asudus, the 1/6. Min ba'di, from after. Wasiyatin, a will. You see, he fulfills terms of the will. Okay, this comes from wasiya, which means the last will. Okay, so you see, he fulfills the terms of the will. Biha, be with, ha, it. Oh, or dain, a debt. Aba'ukum, aba'u, parents. Kum, yours. Or aba also refers to forefathers. Kum, yours. Wa, and abna'ukum. Abna, offspring or children. Kum, yours. La, na, tadaruna. You all know. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So you all know. Ayyuhum, ayyu, which, hum, them. Akwarabu is nearer. Qurb means nearness. Akwarabu, aleph in the beginning, means nearer or closer. Lakum, la, for, kum, you, all of you. Naf'an, in benefit. Faridatan, a duty, ordained, or a fixed share. Min, from, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha, inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kana, he is, aliman. This comes from ilm, which means knowledge, and aliman is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, and it means one, always, all-knowing. Hakiman, this comes from hikmah, which means wisdom. And this is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hakiman, one, always, all wise. Wa, and lakum, la, for, kum, all of you. Nisfu, nisf means half, ma, what? Taroka, left. Azwajukum, azwaj, wives, kum, yours. In, if, lam, did not, yakun, he was or is. Lahunna, la, for, hunna, them, meaning females. Walad, a child. Fa'in, fa, so, in, if, kana, was, or is. Lahunna, la, for, hunna, them, meaning females. Waladun, a child. Falakum, fa, then. La, for, kum, all of you. Arubu'u, the 4th. Mimma, min, from, ma, what? Darakna, they left. The noon in the end tells us this refers to the women. So, darakna, they left, the women left. Min ba'di, min means from, ba'di, after. Vasiyatin, a will. Yusina, yusina, they fulfill terms of the will. Okay, and this talks about the women because it ends in noon. So, yusina, they, the women, fulfill terms of the will. Biha, be with, ha, it. Aw, or dain, a debt. Walahunna, wa, and. La, for, hunna, them, meaning females. Arubu'u, the 4th. Mimma, this is a compound word. Min means from, ma, what? Taraktum. Taraka means to leave. So, tarak, left, tum, all of you. In, if, lam, did not. Yakun, is or was. لكم la فوركم all of you ولد a child فإن fa then in if كان was or is لكم la فوركم all of you ولد a child فلهن fa so la for هن them meaning the females الثمن the eighth مما min means from and ما what تركتم you left من بعد from after وصية a will توصون so this word also comes from وصية but two in the beginning means you and una ending makes this word plural and this is a verb so توصون you all fulfill terms of the will بها with B means with ها it أو or دين a debt Why and in if كان was or is رجل a man يورث he is inherited كلالة كلالة meaning a person with no ascendants or descendants okay or امرأة a woman why and له لا for who him أخن a brother أو or أخت a sister فلكل ف so لي for كل each واحد one منهما من from هما both of them السدس the 1/6 فإن ف then in if كانوا they were or are أكثر more we know that كثير means a lot right And the alif in the beginning just adds more depth to it. So, أكثر more من than ذلك that فهم فسوهم they شركاء partners في in and شركاء can also mean sharers the ones that share في in الثلث the 1/3 من from بعد after وصية a will you saw It is willed. This is in the passive tense. You saw it is willed or carried out. Biha, be with, ha, it. أو, or, دين, a debt. غير, other than. مضار, one harming or injuring. وصية, a commandment or a will. من from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu, wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alimun, always all-knowing. Halimun. This is another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it comes from Hilm, which means to be tolerant, to tolerate. So Halimun, always all-forbearing. And always all tolerant. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Va'idha hadar al qismata ulul qurba wal yatama wal masakin. If the relatives, the orphans or needy, are present at the time of division of an inheritance, so according to Islam, people are supposed to divide everything up among the heirs very soon after their loved one dies. So each person gets a share that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. The heirs are not allowed to wait for years to divide that inheritance, and those who have access to the things or money their loved one left behind cannot use them as they need before it's actually divided up among all the heirs. And that includes the widows, the orphans, or even if the children are all grown up, it includes all of them. They all receive their shares according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times, people ignore the rules that Allah gave and they want to leave a last will explaining how much to give each heir. Even though they have no right to do that. They want to give the son and daughter equal shares, even though Islam tells us clearly what share the son receives and what share the daughter receives. And it's different for each. And sometimes people want to give more to the child who really cared for them and looked after them because the other kids didn't care as much. But parents are not allowed to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given anyone the right to leave out any of their kids or give more to one than the other. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed shares for them, He has clearly told us the shares of each person, and we should not change them. So when a loved one dies, the whole family needs to be present afterwards when they make a list of all the belongings of that person or all the assets. They decide how to distribute the items, or if everyone agrees, they can give it as charity. Or if one of the heirs wants to keep something, like maybe all the furniture that person owned, they should calculate how much that furniture is worth, and then anyone who wants to keep it can pay the amount to keep it all. Okay, they should pay for it. They would, of course, pay each of the heirs the amount that's worth their share in that furniture, because each of them has a share in it. Because if they don't do that, they're only entitled to their own share, not the share of the others. And a different approach would be to calculate the worth of each of the things, and then they divide up the things according to their value. So each person gets something that's worth the amount they're entitled to. So this has to be handled very carefully and should be done as soon as possible after the loved one dies. And there may be others present when the shares are being distributed, and they can be orphans or needy or neighbors who are barely able to provide for themselves. So when that happens, if all the heirs agree, فَرْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ, then give them something out of it. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and say to them kind words. When the orphans or the needy are present and they're watching the heirs divide up the inheritance, it's good to give them something too, if the heirs all agree. And if they want more, saying that they really cared for the deceased person and did a lot for that person, there's no need to get upset and say that they should just be grateful for whatever they got, since they weren't entitled to it anyway. And so that's not allowed. Nobody should say that. Nobody should hurt the other person's feelings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to answer them in a recognized right way, meaning in a kind way. And know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people to use kind words. He says, قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, when speaking to the foolish people who don't understand the value of money that we learned about last time. And now, when speaking to the orphans or the needy who may be around when the inheritance is distributed, okay, say قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. People are not allowed to be rude to them. Even when they say something unfair, we're not supposed to respond in a rude way. وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. And let those disposing of an estate have the same fear in their minds as they would have for their own if they were to leave a helpless family behind. This is such a beautiful reminder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the heirs of the deceased or those left behind who are distributing the inheritance to fear. What should they fear? What would happen if they left behind orphans, like those left behind after the person they are dividing the inheritance of? They would be so worried about their kids if they were in their place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to understand what that would feel like so they can be fair with the orphans. And this can also be connected to the last ayah, that if orphans and needy people are around when the shares are being divided among the heirs, they should be given something too. even if they're relatives who are not entitled to get any share from the inheritance, like a nephew or an uncle or aunt who are around. They may not even be needy, but they're there, so give them something if all the heirs agree. And don't yell at them. Speak to them kindly. Be afraid of what would happen if that person were to leave behind orphans like them. This is actually a message for all the members of society. When they see orphans who don't have a father, they should treat them well. And try to imagine what would happen to their kids if they passed away. Just that thought is so perturbing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, imagine your kids in the place of those orphans you see there. فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهُ. So they should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding those children. And until we imagine our kids in their place, we cannot be fearful. وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And speak for justice. Say what is correct. Don't say anything confusing that may mean more than one thing. Like if you give the orphan something, but you don't say it clearly, he or she may think that you meant something else. And you don't want to end up hurting their feelings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns about the property or wealth of orphans. So we can be fair. And he tells us here that relatives and orphans should also get something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another ayah in the Quran, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Then as for the orphans, do not oppress. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him love the needy people. If the heirs give something to the relatives, it would be great for the deceased because it would add to that person's good deeds. Sometimes people are afraid of being unjust, so they avoid taking the responsibility of orphans. When they are able to do it, they just don't because they're afraid that they might do something unfair. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will be like this in Jannah with the person who takes care of an orphan. And he raised his forefinger and his middle finger by way of illustration. Like the two fingers, how close they are together. That's how he will be with that person in Jannah if he takes care of an orphan. SubhanAllah. As for the sin of taking the property of orphans unjustly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. In fact, those who misappropriate the property of orphans unjustly swallow but fire into their bellies. We already learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the guardians of orphans, if they're not so well off financially, those guardians are allowed to take some money as payment for handling their property and taking care of everything for the orphans. But anyone who takes money from the property of orphans when they're not needy are actually filling their bellies with fire. We went over the hadith already about people Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw when he ascended to the heavens. Their stomachs were being filled with stones of fire because they unjustly used the wealth of orphans. What they see in this world is money or other things that they're using, but they're actually filling their stomachs with fire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in another hadith, when those people are resurrected from their graves on the Day of Judgment, they will have flames coming out of their mouths. When asked who this is about, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever uses the wealth of orphans unjustly is swallowing fire. We don't see the fire yet, but it will appear on the Day of Judgment. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Abi Hatim narrated, Whoever used the property of an orphan unjustly will have fire coming out of his mouth, his ears, his nose, and his eyes on the day of judgment. Astaghfirullah. And everyone will know that he used the wealth of an orphan unjustly. Imagine what that would feel like when there's fire coming out of their body parts. Astaghfirullah. وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا And they will soon be cast into the blazing fire. Just because the orphans don't have anyone to stand up for them yet does not mean the guardians who use the wealth of orphans unjustly can get away with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize them for what they did. If they knew about the severe punishments for that sin, they would never even think about doing it. This ayah was actually revealed after the Battle of Uhud, when the wife of Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu anhu went to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her two daughters. She said, O Messenger of Allah, these girls are Sa'd's daughters. Their father went with you to fight in the battle and he was martyred. Their uncle has taken all of their wealth and left nothing for them. Who will marry them when they have no money? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide himself. Then this ayah about inheritance was revealed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does that is filling their bellies with fire. And he explained that the orphans should receive their share, the widow should receive her share, and the uncle would receive his share. Because in the case of a man who has daughters only and no son, the uncle gets a share as well. But only one share, not all of the wealth, left behind. يُوسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you concerning your children in regard to inheritance. If we get worried and try to set up the shares of our children that they would receive after our death, keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about them a lot more than we do. And He has commanded about their shares already. And He emphasizes that people should obey those orders. So of course, we have to obey all His orders. But here, He especially says that He has willed for this to happen. So we must do it. It's a commandment. There's a Muslim and Bukhari hadith that when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to see Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas when he was ill, Sa'd said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I have a lot of wealth and I only have one daughter. If you allow, can I give 2/3 of my wealth in the way of Allah as charity? He felt that he was about to die and he wanted to give 2/3 of it as sadaqah. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him no. Then Sa'd radiallahu anhu asked about giving 1/3 of it as charity, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed that, but he said, that's still a lot. It's better for you to leave wealth for your heirs than leaving them behind as needy and having to ask others for help. Sometimes when people are about to die, they don't really care to leave behind much for their own kids. They want to give a lot in the way of Allah all of a sudden, so they can benefit themselves in the hereafter. But we're not supposed to donate as charity then. And we're told to leave it for the heirs so they don't have to depend on other people to get by.
The deceased is rewarded for leaving behind money for their family.
Because if the parents were wealthy, but they gave away everything to charity, the kids would have to ask others for money. And that's not right. So the word yusikum tells us how firm these orders of Allah are. If we break these rules, we are crossing the limits of Allah. This shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people even more than their parents. Sa'd radiallahu anhu was told to leave the money for his daughter. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how the inheritance must be divided. Ayat 11, 12, and the last ayah of Surah Nisa cover all the rules of inheritance. Alhamdulillah. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists all the roles in these three ayat. لِلذَّكَرِ
مِثْلُ
حَزِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. The share of a boy shall be twice that of a girl. You will all receive a chart in your groups, inshallah, and you can refer to it when trying to understand these ayat. It's actually easier if you print it out and keep it with your notes. So that chart will definitely help you understand what we're learning better, inshallah, and it'll help you remember. So this ayah starts off by saying that a boy's share will be equal to that of two girls. لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. So if there were $4 to divide, for example, the two girls would get $1 each and the boy would get $2, which is the amount the two girls get put together. In the case where someone has three daughters and two sons, they would divide it up the following way. They would double the share for two boys as if each had two. So that is four total for them two. And the three girls get one portion each. And therefore, the property would be divided into seven portions. Four portions of the seven would go to the sons and one portion each for the daughters. فَإِن كُنَّا نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ. If there are more than two girls, meaning someone only has girls and more than two, فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكَ. Their share will be two-thirds of the estate. So the people calculating would take two-thirds of the entire belongings of the deceased person, qalla and kathur, as we learned last week, and that two-thirds of the inheritance would be divided up among all the daughters. So it doesn't mean that each daughter will get two-thirds of it. That percentage will be divided up among all the daughters, two-thirds of it. وَإِن كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النِّصْفُ. But if there's only one girl, her share will be one half of the estate. Like the example of Sa'd radiallahu anhu, how he had only one daughter, no other kids. In that case, the daughter would get half of the inheritance as her share. She wouldn't get all of it. وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ. And for the parents of the deceased, they also get a share of it. لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ. For each of the two parents is one-sixth of the share from the deceased, from whatever the deceased left behind. If, and under the condition, إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. If the deceased left behind children and parents, then the parents would also get a share. One-sixth of it for the father and one-sixth of the share for the mother. One-sixth of the total inheritance for the mother and one-sixth for the father. It's common nowadays for the family to not even give the parents their share. And everything is just given to that person's kids. But the parents of the deceased are entitled to their share if they're alive, according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. But if the deceased left no children, or maybe he was young and he had not even gotten married yet. وَوَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ. And the parents are the only heirs. فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ. Then the mother shall get one-third of the estate. So if the deceased had kids, the mother would get one-sixth of the estate. But if the deceased did not have kids, the mother would get one-third of it as her share. Now, what about the father? It's not mentioned here, right? It's because the entire remaining amount would be the father's. So after the mother's one-third is taken out, the father would get two-thirds as his share. فَإِن كَانُوا لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ. But if the deceased left behind brothers and sisters, فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ. Then the mother would get one-sixth of it. like in the case of the deceased leaving behind children. So if the deceased had siblings, the mother gets 1/6 and the father gets his share, and the siblings each get theirs. مِن بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِي بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ. The distribution in all cases shall be after fulfilling the terms of the last will and the payment of debts. So when a person dies, the first thing that must be done is to pay for the funeral and burial expenses from his money in a fair way. The heirs should not overspend when they take out money from what he left behind to pay for a grave, by trying to find a grave in an expensive area or for a luxury car to transport the body in, an expensive car. It should be done in a reasonable manner so they're not overspending. So that's the first thing the deceased person's money should be spent on, unless someone else wants to pay for those things as sadaqah. Some people actually buy their grave and their shroud during their lives, when they're still alive. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But if he had not already bought those things, he or she, before his property or wealth is divided up among the heirs, the deceased person's money should be used for his burial expenses when he's leaving this world. That's his right. The second thing the family should do with the money is figure out if the deceased owned someone anything. If that person had taken a loan, it must be paid off, whether it was a small amount or a big amount. The heir should ask if that person owed anyone anything, because the soul of a believer remains suspended by his debt until it's paid off. So that person's debt should be paid off with his money. And if that person didn't give his wife mehr, the dower, that should be given also. That is also a debt that he owes. The third thing to do would be to read his last will. Note that people are not allowed to leave a wasiya or a last will about more than 1/3 of their wealth or property. If anyone writes a will, they cannot give instructions for more than 1/3 of it. This is very important. Okay, so everyone needs to understand this properly. If anyone wants to give something to a hospital, like to donate something, or an organization, or for charity, they can only give 1/3 of it or less. Okay? Nobody can donate all of their wealth or property. It's not allowed Islamically. People can donate as much as they want while they're still alive, but they can't leave a last will. Okay, they can't write a will saying that everything they own should be given in the way of Allah. That's really unfair to the heirs, because they're the ones who get it after he passes away. Another thing people must know is that they cannot leave a last will concerning their heirs, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already ordained the shares of the heirs. Okay, the family members are the heirs, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us their shares. Those heirs get their shares according to instructions that have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people cannot leave a will telling how much their heirs should be given. Okay, they can't decide that, because the shares of those heirs cannot be changed after Allah has clearly stated them all. However, if someone wants to leave a will, they want to write a will for their niece or a nephew or an aunt, meaning someone who's not one of the heirs, it's allowed. They can do that. But it must be less than 1/3 of the total amount. Okay? Because they can only do what they want with the 1/3. Because these relatives usually do not get a share, right? Like a nephew or a niece or an aunt that somebody really cares about, or some they know that they would benefit from it, they can write a will for them. But then those relatives would get less than one third of it. Okay, the person can leave a will for them. So all scholars agree that when a person dies, the first thing his money should be used for is the burial, then to pay off his debts, and then comes the inheritance. Aba ukum wa abna ukum la tadruna ayyuhum aqrabu lakum naf'a. With regards to your parents and your children, you do not know who is more beneficial to you. People often think that their kids need the money more because they have their whole lives ahead of them, and they have to get an education, they have to get married and pay for a lot of other expenses. And they think that their parents wouldn't need the money as much anyway because they're old and they don't really have many expenses. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you don't understand how it would benefit you to give shares to the ones Allah commanded. There is so much wisdom in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered. So everyone mentioned must get their shares. فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued this ordinance. It's a duty that must be carried out. It should not be ignored, and people should advise their heirs to split up their property according to the rules of Allah after they leave this world. That way, at least the dying person would not be held accountable if the heirs did something wrong. That person himself should not interfere with the shares set up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or give more to someone who is their favorite and less to another person that they may be upset with. Those heirs are entitled to their share, and they can use them as they please. Even if they choose to give it as charity on behalf of the deceased person, it's fine. It's all up to them. Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowledgeable, the all-wise. Now, this part reminds us that we're not sensible enough to understand why Allah ordered these shares. He set these rules according to His ilm, according to His wisdom, for reasons that are beyond our understanding. He knows best, and we cannot think about changing or breaking those rules. These shares have been fixed, and they must be followed. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. And you shall inherit one half of your wife's estate. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ. If they leave no child. Men are being told here that they can inherit half of their wife's property when she dies, or from any of their wives if someone has more than one. And that is if she does not have children. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدٍ. But if they leave a child behind, whether it's a child that the man is the father of, or if she has a child from a previous marriage. فَلَكُمُ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصِينَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ. Then you will get one fourth of their estate after fulfilling the terms of their last will and the payment of debts. Her children would get their shares too. So the current husband would get one fourth of the inheritance. And this makes it clear that he is still her husband after she dies. Many people have this misunderstanding that the nikah breaks as soon as a woman dies, so her husband can't even see her face after she dies. But that's not correct. She is still his wife, and that is why he's entitled to get his share after her death. So it doesn't make sense that he can't see her face even after she dies because he's not married to her anymore. It doesn't make sense to think that way, because if he's entitled to get something from her inheritance, he is still her husband. And it's the same for the husband. He is still the husband for his wife after she dies. No, I'm sorry, the other way around. If he dies, she is still his wife. Okay, so she can see him. There's nothing wrong with that. And she also gets a share of his inheritance that he leaves behind. Okay, so when does the husband get his share after his wife dies? After the terms of the wife's last will are fulfilled and any debts are paid off. And of course, after the dying person's money is used to pay for the burial and the grave, which is pretty expensive in some countries. If anyone else wants to pay for those things, they would be doing a good deed. But if not, it must be paid for with or using the deceased person's money. And then according to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should actually ask at the janazah if that person owed anyone anything, and any debts should be paid. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pray Salatul Janazah for the person who owed someone money. And later on, when Muslims were able to afford it, he would pay off that person's debt from the Baytul Mal, which was the public treasury. So the heirs must pay off that person's debt instead of just taking their shares and being careless about the debt. Even if a person passes away as a martyr, their debt must be paid off. A man asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would happen if he died while fighting in the way of Allah? And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that he would get Jannah as a reward. When he turned around, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, except if he had a debt to pay. And he said, Jibreel alayhi salam just came and told me that if there's a loan to pay off, it would block the entry to Jannah, even for the martyr. So the heirs should have mercy on their deceased loved ones. If they passed away without being able to pay their debt off, the heirs should do it. And we should try our best to avoid taking loans unless it's absolutely necessary. If that person took out a loan for a house, that house should be sold and the debt should be paid off. Otherwise, the heirs should use that person's money or other property to pay that debt. That debt must be paid off one way or another. And any other Muslim who can afford to can also pay it off for that person if they want. And they would see great rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Another form of debt that people often have is missing their obligatory fasts that they have not made up. The heirs should pay fidya for them out of that person's money left behind. Or they should pay it themselves if they prefer to. But they must pay that fidya. Okay? And if someone passed away without performing hajj when they had made the intention of doing it, that should be done for that person also. There are different ways other Muslims can help the deceased besides making dua for forgiveness for them. And back to the laws of inheritance, the heirs get their shares after the person's loan is paid off. After the deceased person's loan is paid off, then the heirs get their shares. وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ. And your wives shall inherit 1/4 if you leave no child behind you. So men are told that if a man dies, his wife gets 1/4 of the share, 1/4 of the total, if he has no children. Okay? Even if the man has 4 wives, he doesn't have kids with any of them, the wives get 1/4 of the share still. If he had just 1 wife, she gets the entire 1/4 of the property. And let's say that he had 3 wives, okay? That 1/4 would be divided up among all 3 of them. So each one of them would not get 1/4 share of their own. All three of them would get that quarter in total, and it would be split equally among them. So only 1/4 of his property or wealth would go to the wife or wives if he has more than one. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ But if you leave behind a child, فَلَهُنَّ ثُمُنْ Then for them is 1/8 of your estate. So if the man has a child, the wives get 1/8 of his property as their share. Whether he has one wife who gets the whole 1/8 or more than one, and then it will be divided equally among them all. That 1/8 is the total amount the wives would get. مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ From what you left behind. This is because the kids get a share too. So the wife or wives now get 1/8 as their share. مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ تُوصُونَ بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ After fulfilling the terms of your last will and the payment of debts. One thing we should know is that we don't have to write a will if we don't want to. Okay, we already learned that we don't have to write a will for the heirs anyway because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent orders about their shares. As for relatives who are not heirs, or if we help someone financially on a monthly basis or a bi-weekly basis, whatever, and we're worried about how they would make ends meet after our death, we can write a will concerning them. Because they're not entitled to get any share otherwise. But we cannot leave a will for more than 1/3 of the total for those people. And if the amount we're leaving behind is small anyway, we shouldn't leave a will about the 1/3 that can be given to others. Because the heirs would hardly get anything then anyway. Right? So imagine someone who has just one house and a car. And he left behind a wife and kids. That person's family needs those things, right? And they need the amount. It wouldn't make sense for that person to leave a will, to write a will to donate anything to charity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave your heirs in a state or in a condition that they don't become dependent on others after your death. So it's good to leave them in a financially comfortable state. So they don't have to take loans. So far, we learned that if a man dies and he has kids, his wife gets 1/8 of the estate. And if the man has no kids, she gets 1/4 of it. If the deceased woman has no kids, the husband gets half of the wife's estate. Women often complain that this is unfair, that a man gets half of his wife's property after her death if she doesn't have kids, and the woman gets 1/4 of the man's property after his death if he has no kids. And they think it's not fair that boys get double the amount as girls when the father passes away. But keep in mind that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا Indeed, Allah is all knowledgeable and He is all wise. We can try to figure out the reasons for the shares He ordained, but we cannot complain about them. Okay, if we don't like them, we cannot complain about them. He is just and He cares for us, all of us, more than we can care for anyone. And there are times when a woman gets an equal share to the man also. And we'll learn about this ahead, inshallah. So the woman doesn't always get half as much as a man. It all depends on the heirs and how they are related. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made women financially responsible for anything. The man is responsible for providing everything for the woman after the nikah happens. He basically promises to take on that responsibility. He has to provide her with food, a place to live, clothes, her education if she's studying, her treatment if she gets ill. He is responsible for all those things. If a woman works, the money she earns is hers. It's fine for her to work if her husband allows her to, but the salary she gets is only hers. If she spends some of it or gives it to him, all of it, she does it as a good deed. It's up to her. but she is not responsible for earning money to provide for her family. No man can divorce his wife for not being able to provide for the family. But a woman can ask for a divorce if the man does not earn anything. That man has to fulfill her rights by working to be able to provide for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made men the qawwam of the family, those who keep the family going, okay, the sustainers of the family, because they spend. And we'll learn this later in Surah Nisa, inshallah. Before marriage, the father is responsible for the girl financially, but after she gets married, that responsibility is her husband's. And God forbid, if she gets divorced, the brothers are responsible for providing for her if her father is not there. And when she's old, if the husband has left her, her sons are responsible for her financially. If she doesn't have sons or her own family, then her in-laws are still responsible for providing for her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not order a woman to go and earn a living. It's common nowadays for people to expect women to work and provide for the family, just like the man does. But they're also expected to have kids and raise them well and manage the house. It's sad that Muslims expect this from their wives too now, just because they see the non-Muslims doing this. But men must understand the responsibilities they were assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not order a woman to spend her money. Instead, He has given her the right to take from the men she is related to. She gets mehr from her husband, which is only hers to keep. Her parents or siblings cannot take it from her. Then she gets a share from inheritance as well, and that belongs to her. The man provides for her living expenses as Allah ordered. So the woman actually benefits from these relationships financially too. She doesn't have to pay for anything. If she wants, she can, but she doesn't have to. So how can the rules of Allah be unfair? So women should not complain about these things without understanding these ayat. The man has to spend in all situations, whether he's a father, a husband, or a son. So of course he should get a bigger share from inheritance so he can handle those responsibilities. So there is a lot of wisdom in these orders, and they are from Allah, so we must value them. If anyone complains about these orders, we can speak to them and try to explain why he has set these shares. And next, we are going to learn about the kalala, the person who does not have a father or a son. He can have a mother, or she, a woman, can have a mother, but no dad or son. Okay, that is a kalala. وَإِنْ كَانَ رَجُلٌ يُورَثُ كَلَالَةً وَامْرَأَةً. And if a man or a woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, that means that man or woman is kalala. Okay? وَلَهُ أَخٌ. And that person has a brother. أَوْ أُخْتٌ. Or a sister. How are these brothers and sisters related? They have the same mother. They have different fathers, but they share the same mother. فَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا السُّدُسُ. Then they shall each inherit 1/6. That means if the kalala has only one sister or only one brother, that sibling gets 1/6 of the inheritance. So the amount is equal for both the man or woman. The sisters don't get half as much in this case. فَإِنْ كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And if they are more than two, فَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ فِي الثُّلُثِ. Then they shall share 1/3 of the estate. That 1/3 would be equally divided up among all of them. مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ. After fulfilling the terms of the last will and the payment of debts. Now, you may have questions about inheritance, but it's not possible to cover all the things related to it in class. The ilm, or knowledge of inheritance, is called the ilmul fara'id. So we must learn it and teach others whatever we know. And we've been told that this knowledge of inheritance would be the first to go from people. They would lose this knowledge first. But it's very important to learn it. People talk so much about fulfilling the rights of others, but most people don't really learn about the rights of others when it comes to inheritance, even though we have to know about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if there is a kalala with no father or son, their brother or sister would get the share mentioned. But the last will, the wasiyati yusa biha, should be ghayra mudar, other than harming, without prejudice. How can one be harmed from the last will? If the dying person says that they don't want to leave anything for one kid because he was disobedient, even though Allah has ordered for that kid to get his share, just like the others. If that person writes that in their last will, they are being unjust, and nobody can be treated unjustly. None of the children can be given more than they're entitled to, no matter how good they are or how well they treat the parents. Doing these things would be causing harm. Likewise, people can cause harm when it comes to dain or debts. If someone claims that the person who died owes them money when they didn't, they are being unjust. Or they increase the amount and say that the deceased owed them the bigger amount when that person owed them less. For example, they claim that the person who died owed them $10,000 when he owed them only $1,000. That's being unjust. Also, there are cases when the dying person actually writes the amount down that they owe, but the heirs don't bother to pay it all off, or they change the will. These are all ways that people cause harm. So Allah especially says that these matters should be handled غير مدار, without causing harm. وَصِيَّةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Thus is the commandment of Allah. And again, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَلِيمٌ. And Allah is all knowledgeable, always all forbearing. The knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has is so vast that we don't know anything in comparison. He is the most caring towards people, and He is Haleem. He's always all forbearing. So He gives people time, even after they disobey His commands, when it comes to inheritance in this case. Another thing we must know, if someone writes a last will that is unjust and against Allah's orders, the heir should not follow it. In that case, they should ignore the unjust parts of the will because they're not according to the rules set by Allah. Chances are the parents didn't even have knowledge of the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent about inheritance. But if the kids know, they shouldn't follow the instructions the parents left if they are unjust. There are many things we should learn about inheritance, but it's hard to learn them all in a short time. So at least we can discuss what should be done in certain scenarios. At least the basics. Because a lot of people ask our dear Ustaza questions about these things. Okay? So, in the case where the dying person tells their kids to bury them in another country, usually their home country, okay, but transporting the body to a distant land requires doing things to the body that scholars advise not to do. So the children should not do what the parent instructed in that case. And it doesn't matter where that person's buried anyway. Only that person's good deeds matter. That's the only thing that helps that person. Even if a person is buried in Medina, it doesn't mean that he would be forgiven for all his sins. Remember Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites? He was buried in Medina. But that doesn't save him from the punishment. And if a parent tells their child to not see or speak to a certain relative, it's not good. Because we learned already how important it is to keep family ties. So the kids should change that will in that case. And they should do what's right. We just have to be sensible about these things. At times, women ask our dear Ustaza if they should hand over all the shares of their kids right after their husband passes away. But remember, we learned to not hand over money to the Sufaha, to those who don't understand the value of money. The mom is the guardian of those kids, and she should not hand it all over until they're mature and sensible enough to handle it themselves. And when the mother uses that money to run the house and raise them, she's actually spending that money on them, on their education. So there's nothing wrong with that. And if the widow doesn't have a source of income, of course she can take out of it. Bil ma'roof, in a reasonable manner. We learned all this already in the ayah about orphans. But of course, if another person is there who has a share in the inheritance, like the parents of the man who died, they should get their share very soon after their son passes away. Unless the parents, meaning the kids' grandparents, say that they just want their orphaned grandkids to have it all. Then that's okay if they leave it all for them. Another case we should discuss. If a man passes away and he has kids and a father, the father gets a share from the inheritance. Even if the father passes away the next day after his son, before the shares are even divided up. Because he was alive when his son passed away, so he is entitled to his share. Sometimes the heirs keep dying and the inheritance is never divided up because they just take so long to do it. And this is wrong. Okay, but even if it's divided up later, the children of the son would get their share. It should be done in a timely manner so the kids don't have to borrow money from others or be stressed about finances. Even though when a person dies, family members don't even want to think about inheritance, right? But because they're so hurt and they're in a state of grief. But it has to be done in a timely manner. In some cases, instead of taking 1/8 of it, the widow takes all of it. And that is not allowed. If a man dies and they only have daughters, the girls and the widow get their share, and his brothers have a share also. If the widow does not give the man's brothers anything and takes over everything for herself and daughters, she is being unjust. She must give them their share, even if she doesn't get along with the brothers-in-law. And if any man is worried about his wife only getting 1/8 of his estate, in case he passes away and he thinks that she would struggle to be providing for herself and the kids because she doesn't get enough of a share, he can gift her whatever he wants while he is still alive. But the rules of Allah cannot be changed about shares after he dies. He can't leave a will. He can't write a will saying all of it should go to his wife. That can't be done. So men should give their wives the house or something valuable as a gift while they're still alive, if they care so much and worry about how she would survive after his death. He wouldn't want her to rely on others to get by. When a man dies, if his wife lives in the house with some of her kids and the rest of the kids live somewhere else, that house does not need to be sold to divide up all the property. If it belongs to everyone, all their names should just be added as the owners. So whenever the house is sold later on, everyone gets their share. Another thing to understand, sometimes men buy property in their wife's name so they can save on taxes. That doesn't mean the house is the woman's property, unless the man specifically says that the house is a gift for her. Otherwise, if the house is the man's, but just in someone else's name, it is the man's property. If they have a joint bank account, just so they both have access to the money, if the man passes away, the woman could withdraw money without any inconvenience. So it wouldn't be difficult for her or the man to make a transaction. But it's understood that it's the man's money. But if they both work and have a joint account, they should remember to calculate what percentage of it is the woman's and what is the man's. If the man pays for all the expenses and leaves her money in the account, then whatever is there belongs to both of them, some percentage for each one of them. A few other things. If a son dies while the father is alive, The son's kids do not get anything from the father's inheritance because their father is dead. But the grandfather can write a will to leave something for his grandkids if he wants. The whole one-third of it or a part of it. But the grandkids would not inherit anything otherwise because the link between the grandpa and the kids broke when their father died. Also, if a woman is pregnant when her husband dies, the baby that's born later gets a share because that baby is an heir of the father. And in the case where a man has divorced his wife one time, but he dies before that iddat is over, the time period of counting, the woman gets a share from his property. And why? Because she was in her time of iddat, the waiting period after the divorce. If that iddat time was over, then she doesn't get a share because it's understood that he did not plan on returning to her. We should learn these basic things because it's wasiyyatan min Allah, okay, a wasiyya from Allah, and faridatan min Allah. He has ordered this, so it must be done. And alhamdulillah, it's easy to calculate everything nowadays because inheritance calculators are available online, just like zakat calculators that people use. But then all the relatives need to be added to the list when calculating, like the uncles, the brothers, the parents of the deceased, all the immediate relatives that are still alive. Then the inheritance calculator helps people figure out who gets what as their share. And if people have questions, they should ask scholars who have knowledge of inheritance. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته